do ask that you be in prayer for me as I come before you at this time. Certainly, thankful the Lord's blessed that we might be able to do that. Of course, we hated some of the circumstances. Brother Clayton's not feeling up to par. But I know how you feel. He's been there and done that. And there's nothing like being in a position where you got to anyhow. So it's a blessing to have. I was that way for a lot of years out in Nebraska. And Brother Donnie, a senior, and his wife moved back to the area. And it's always a blessing to have him to pinch hit, as it were, from time to time for me. Tried to speak to you the last time from the book of Hebrews. I believe that was on Christmas Day. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. And tonight, we'd like to go back to the book of Hebrews. We're going to fast forward all the way to the last chapter. Chapter 13 in verse 8. One of those real neat verses of scripture in the Bible. Doesn't take a whole lot of effort to memorize it. It's a little bit longer than Jesus wept, but it still is talking about Jesus. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And so pray for us as we try to talk about that. It's always a blessing to speak in the Lord's name. Sometimes, think the Lord puts thoughts and subjects on our mind and our hearts, and they can be kind of difficult. But most of the time, at least in my experience, when I feel led to talk about Jesus Christ, well, I don't have the apprehension about that I do other things. Not that I don't have it, because, you know, when you go about representing somebody else, that can be a little nerve-wracking in itself, but especially when you're representing the Lord, that's a greater thing. Of course, this verse of Scripture, is a part of it. The general tenor of it is pretty self-explanatory. It's not hard to understand who the subject matter is. It's not a whole lot hard to understand about what the apostle is trying to say. So that makes it easy. But let's talk about that. Jesus Christ. First of all, Jesus is his name, Yahashuah, which, you know, the Hebrew name was Joshua. Christ is his title. He's Jesus, the Anointed One. Christ simply means anointed. So he's, of course, Jesus comes from a word that means saved or to save or saves. So he's the anointed who saves. That's Jesus Christ. Of course, we could spend a whole lot of time talking about Jesus Christ. He's of course the Son of God. He was prophesied for thousands of years that he would come into this world, and in their own way, the Old Testament prophets knew a great deal about the coming Son of God. They were blessed to see, but they were not blessed to see as clearly as we are able to see in our day. Of course, we all have the position of seeing him without ever having seen him. Of course, we see him by faith. We see him because he blesses us to see him when we're born in the Spirit of God. But we're still blessed to see him. And that's certainly a blessing You know, it would, I can't help but think from time to time, you know, I'm thankful to be who I am and to live where I am and in the time that I am. And if I'd have lived back then, I'd have been long gone. But at least I'd have got to see my Savior in the flesh. So, Jesus Christ, the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Joseph, you're his earthly father. You're his father as was supposed. You're his father strictly from the standpoint that Mary is your wife. He has a heavenly father. He has the greatest father. God sent the angel and gave Joseph the joy and the privilege of announcing that name to the world. The angel announced the name to Joseph, and Joseph announced the name in turn to his family and, of course, to the world. And in that, from what I understand of Jewish custom and history, especially in some circles, that was a big deal. That everybody may have known what the child's name was going to be, but I think it was, well, one of the commentators even went so far as to say that in some instances that it would have been considered a great social, I don't know the word they use, but kind of a slap in the face if somebody had made that announcement before the father was given the opportunity to do so. But the heavenly father gave Joseph the opportunity to announce that his name is Jesus. Christ, Jesus is his name. Christ is his title. Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul said, the same. He's not a Jesus. He's the Jesus. And he's the same. Now that word same is an interesting word. On the surface, on the face of it, you know, we understand, you know, we what same means. You know, we go, like for instance, for example, we may go to the restaurant and sit down and eat. Sit down to eat. Sister Lane says, I'll have steak and potatoes. And I say, I'll have the same. Well, but I can't do that. You know, because she has her steak and potatoes. Well, I can't have her steak and potatoes. But I still, you know, we understand. You know, the waitress will certainly understand, you know, what I mean by saying, well, I'll have the same. I'll have the same thing that she has. I'm ordering the same thing that she is. In the strictest sense of the term, then, whenever it talks about Jesus Christ, the same, you know, he's not. In the example I gave, he's always been steak and potatoes. You know, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who was talking about him when. He's always been the same. And by the way, in the original text, and I'm not, you know, I'm not a scholar about that, but I'm just telling you what I've read and learned. And I'm not certainly saying, you know, I'm not arguing with the translators. I'm perfectly fine with this. They did a much better job than I ever could have. But what I'm about to say is the word is, it's not in the original. It's supplied, and it's supplied because of the language, you know. But that's interesting. That's always interesting. You know, it's not, you know, it's not, it doesn't say that Jesus Christ, my point is that, you know, we're not, it's a little more than saying Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, day, and forever. And the translators left the word is out because it's not in the original text. context or the original text. So they got it just right. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. It's not talking about his, let me back up and say it this way. It's talking about just simply who he is. He's always been Jesus Christ. He's Jesus Christ today, and he always will be Jesus Christ. That's the point. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Another thing, this is borrowed. One of the commentators said that the word "is" was not in the original to emphasize same. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And that emphasizes the part of Jesus' character and existence as God, and that he simply is always. He always. John put it this way, that which our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Those apostles, of course, they had to go to school with Jesus, but they came to understand, that this man was God. He was, it was a process, but they came to that point that to recognize and, of course, to teach that he was God, who was in the beginning, who was before the beginning, and who always will be. So Jesus Christ, another interesting thing, Jesus Christ, the same, the same, a particular word there. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. The word same in the text is autos, the English transliteration of the Greek, and it has the meaning of a pronoun, he or she, himself, herself, the same. So you might say, well, what does that mean? Same, you could substitute Jesus Christ for same. In other words, Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ, yesterday and today and forever. That's how same he is. We have to emphasize, we can't emphasize enough that whatever, however God appears, wherever he appears, he's always God. Whatever he does, however he goes about doing what he does, however he chooses to do it, he's always God. He's essential in his being, yesterday, today, and forever. He'll always be that way. His self-existence, his eternality, is not just about his ability to be that way, but a million years ago, he's who he is today. A million years from now, he'll be who he is today. He's the same. He's always going to be the same. And Jesus Christ is the same. He's Jesus Christ, the same, and he always will be the same. He's always been the Son of God. He's always been the anointed of God. Just simply, Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ. Just like God told Moses, Moses said, who am I going to tell the children of Israel who you are? Just tell them I am that I am. Same concept. I am that I am. I am God. I've always been God, and I always will be God. You just like to put your arms around that, don't you? Especially in the world that we live in, when it's a constantly changing world. Constantly changing in every way. And of course, the other reason is that's important, and it's good for us spiritually, religiously, because if the Church of Jesus Christ, which Jesus Christ said upon this rock, and I believe the rock is Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew 16, he told Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, that's a foundation that Paul says to the church at Corinth in chapter 1, I believe, no other foundation can any man lay except that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So that foundation cannot be destroyed. It can't be moved. It can't be changed. Men have tried to, but they can't, and they won't, and I'm glad that that's true, because that's one thing that I think about whenever I talk along these lines that just kind of thrills my soul. I'm just a dot on a dot on a dot when it comes to being a minister of the gospel. There are men throughout time, and there are men in the present age that are far better at this than I'll ever be. But I'm thankful to know that I have the privilege and the blessing to be able to proclaim the truths of God. And to stand shoulder to shoulder, not only in this present time, but to be able to link to men all the way back to the apostles, and that what they preached, I can preach. What they understood, I can understand. Why? Because what they preached is the same. It hasn't changed. Time hasn't changed it. They've tried. Men haven't changed it. They've written their own Bible, and et cetera, et cetera. But they haven't changed God. They haven't changed God. They haven't changed Jesus Christ. Well, that word "same," of course, brings to mind some other thoughts. I mentioned the Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, Jesus, in following up and explaining some of the parables, and I'll not get into them at this time, Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Now the quotation's not a question. Jesus Christ is asking a question. But what he said there concerning the stone, that's a declaration. That's a statement. The statement is, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. I mean, that's a statement. That's not a question. Jesus Christ is not asking a question. He's just asking, have you not ever heard this? And going on to say, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So there's that word same used by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and again referring to Himself, and telling us what that a cornerstone is. And of course, we can go and let's go over to John chapter 1, the first two verses of the gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And of course, all three times there, the word Word is capitalized. Then he says, there's that sentence, says period. Then he says, the same was in the beginning with God. The same. The Word, whoever the Word is referring to, which of course the Bible teaches us here that, Jesus Christ is the Word. Well, John's point is not that he was just in the beginning with God, but he was the same in the beginning with God. Again, what he's saying is that God was with God in the beginning. That's so fundamental. It's so fundamental that every time a group of people get away from that, they're headed into doctrinal error. That's just the way it is. If you don't believe as a person or as an organization that Jesus Christ is God, everything else. I mean, you're already struck out. You don't need three strikes. I mean, just one strike and you're out. That's all it is. Well, actually, you got three strikes because you're striking against the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. So, you're just in trouble because that's what the Bible teaches, and that's the way it is. He was God manifested in the flesh. That which our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, our hands have handled, the Word of life. We've handled God. Which one of the disciples asked him, show us the Father and it sufficeth us?
Philip,
have I been so long with you and you've not seen the Father? He that has seen me has seen the Father. He doesn't use the word same there, but the principle is there. Mm-hmm. What you've seen is what you'll see. Philip, if God were to appear, nothing would change because what you're seeing is what you will see. Another place that word is used is in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. The angels are two men that stood by them in white apparel, and that's usually the way angels are described, in white apparel. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. They could have said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall, etc. That would have been a complete sentence. Would have had all the elements necessary. But there was more to be said. It was important for them to say again to these disciples that this same Jesus, we're not talking about different in men who have appeared as Jesus throughout your experience with him. And furthermore, this not only that's not only important, But this also helps us with an understanding of future identity. This same Jesus. What were they seeing? They were seeing what they had seen for 3.5 years. They recognized him as Jesus. And this same Jesus, that which you've seen, you've heard, you've handled, this same Jesus that you see ascending up into heaven, in like manner, shall so come. He's coming back. Another thing that I like about that is that, you know, as I said earlier, you know, we preach the same Jesus that the apostles preached. And whenever he comes back, we'll see the same Jesus that the apostles saw. You know, with our natural eyes, we've not had the blessing of seeing him as they did. But we will see him, the same Jesus. That's the promise to the angel, that he told the angel, if I can ad lib a little bit, he said, now don't forget to tell him, I'm coming back. And that's what he did. You know, this same Jesus, so shall he return in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So we have an idea about how he's coming back. You know, he just levitated. He just, away he went. And when he's coming back, here he comes. Just that simple and just that easily. Another scripture, you know, this word same, you know, if you haven't figured out now, I like to talk about words. Psalm 102 in verse 27, let's begin with verse 24. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. Thy years shall have no end. And that's one of the blessings of who God is. And that's one of the blessings of heaven for us, is that once we're blessed to achieve that, once we're blessed to be in the presence of God, you know, we'll be the same. Now, we're the same here, but we're not always the same. You know, we're all who we are ever since we were conceived in our mother's womb, especially as far as our identity is concerned. You know, we can have all the surgeries we want to, but we'll always be who we are. There's no surgery that will change our soul and our spirit and the identity that God has given us in creating us in our mother's womb. We can't change that. There's no doctor or physicians, or if all of them were combined together in one, that can change that. You know, that's God's work, and it's a marvelous thing. And we can, you know, we can physically change our appearance so that we may not be recognized like we used to look, but we'll never change who we are. And of course, the Bible admonishes the child of God who's been born of the Spirit of God, and especially the child of God who's been blessed to see and to embrace the teachings of God's Word, that we should always strive to be better, to live to do better, to increase in our faith, to serve Him better. You know, always we should always be laboring to do that. And that requires change. But we're always the same. will never change who we will never change our identity of who we are. We can change our behavior. We can change a lot of things. But we'll always be who we are. And that's I look at that as an aspect of God. That's God in us. You know, we're the offspring of God. We're the creation of God. And when God created Adam, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God spoke the animals into existence. He spoke the stars into existence. He spoke all other life into existence. But he formed a body for man, and he breathed into his nostrils his life. He gave Adam part of himself, or he gave him himself, and made him a living being, apart and separate from all the other life that he had given up to that point in time. Well, let's see. In Psalm, so here he says, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Jesus Christ did not fail because he could not fail. And it's comforting to be assured of this when we realize that we fail. We're not the same. He can be called the rock and the cornerstone, of course, which he is. Because he's the same. The church, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew chapter 16, that rock is Jesus Christ. And he built the church upon himself, who is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Now, we certainly know that a lot of things have changed ever since the church has been in this world. But the church of Jesus Christ that he set up and that he established has not changed. That deserves a big amen, because it hasn't changed. It will not change. He said that he established it and that it would not change. And the reason, of course, that it won't change is because he's the foundation, as we've already said. But let's think about this. Let's for a few minutes now. I like to think of in thinking about this text. he said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Well, that's, of course, that covers it all, doesn't it? Yesterday, today, and forever. Well, in the what word do I want to use here? In the immediate sense, okay, today's Wednesday. If I were to tell you that yesterday I went to town, what day did I go to town? Tuesday. Okay. In the broader sense, every day before now is yesterday. So in this Jesus Christ the same yesterday. Well, the Apostle Paul, whenever he wrote this, Jesus Christ was already ascended up into heaven. But he said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. Whatever day of the week it was for the Apostle Paul, let's say he wrote it on a Monday. Was he referring to Sunday? Well, of course not. Not in the context. You know, ever how many yesterdays there have been, Jesus Christ was the same. You know, yesterday all the way back. To in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and he and you know, so forth. But of course, he goes back even farther than that. Yesterday, of course, but I would understand theologically that the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Hebrews, now remember, this is his brethren in the flesh, the Hebrews, the Israelites. And one of his purposes, maybe his main purpose, Paul's main purpose in his mind and his desire in writing this particular epistle was so that his brethren in the flesh, that they could understand that Jesus is the Messiah, that he's the one that you've been looking for thousands of years. He's the promised seed of God ever since God made the first promise, which I think Paul would understand, and I understand, was at least in a sense the promise made to even into Adam and Eve concerning their seed. Yesterday could have that broad of an application, that broad of a brush, that since the promise of Jesus, what he would come into this world, what he would do, he's from that point in all the yesterdays before he came, he's the same. You know, if he'd have come, I believe the time that he came, it was set forth in the determinate counsel of God. He came at that exact moment that God had said he would. But to make a point, if he'd have come before then, it would have still been the same. If he'd have come after then, it would have still been the same. The concept would still be the same. Whatever yesterday refers to, personally, I believe that he's referring to Jesus Christ the same yesterday. All the yesterdays that have been up to this point in time, Jesus Christ is the same. You know, in thinking about that, you remember that Jesus Christ in John chapter 8 said to the Pharisees, to the Jews, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus Christ could have made it easy and said, "Well, yes, I've seen Abraham." But he didn't say it that way. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." That covers all the yesterdays. Jesus Christ, you know, what Abraham saw by faith, they were seeing in person. Isn't that something? Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, today. Again, another kind of term that, you know, our days are swiftly fleeting. In just a little while, today will be yesterday. And in just a little bit longer, tomorrow will be yesterday. Jesus Christ, regardless of how time affects it, he's the same yesterday, today. He's the same today. Whatever the circumstances, whatever anything, he's the same today as he was yesterday. And again, that's important doctrinally, and it's important for the church, because as much as things have changed, as much as our, you know, dress has changed, as much as the conditions in the world have changed, as much as a lot of things have changed, today Jesus Christ is the same as he was yesterday. But maybe this is the best part. And forever. Forever. Of course, the thing about forever is that it covers yesterday and today. and all of our tomorrows. Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And if you ever just FYI, and you, when you're reading the Bible, you know, sometimes it's forever, like it is here. It's two words. Sometimes it's one word. It's the same word. It's just, you know, for some, you know, sometimes they made it two words. Sometimes they made it one word. Forever, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's, you know, that's a mighty long time. That's a mighty long time. Well, as we think about the verse of Scripture, and for just a few moments, I'd like to think about the context. The doctrine, the truth of what we've tried to talk about is standalone. I mean, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's important. It's important for a lot of reasons. It's important for our salvation. You know, Jesus Christ won a great victory with what he came into this world to do. And he died for our sins, but he rose victorious from the grave. He won a great victory. And because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that victory will never diminish at all. And because he's the same, then what he did for those in the generation in which he died is the same for those that all died before him, and the same for all those that have died and will die after him. His blood, I think it's in the book of, is it in the book of Revelation, Brother Clayton, where it talks about from the former sea to the hinder sea. You know, his blood, as it were, some have painted the picture that Jesus Christ hung upon the cross. His arms were outstretched from eternity past to eternity future, from the beginning of time to the end of time. What he died upon the cross to accomplish embraced all of his people, not just, you know, those. Adam is just as secure now in Jesus Christ as the last heir of promise that'll be born. He's the same because he's the same. And what he came to accomplish, he accomplished for them all. So his work of salvation is forever, always has been forever, and always will be forever. And that's a promise we can hang our hat on. He's the same. It's nice to know that there's something that we can believe in, that we can talk about, preach about, that's the same. And that's, of course, a Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. And in that context, he's the same. He's the same Savior for me as he is for you. He has the same power and the same abilities to provide for our needs. Always has and always will be. And that's, you know, think about that. That, you know, we're all men of like passion. There's certainly the sense that, you know, that Adam, even Adam, he was a man. We can, you know, we can understand Adam, and Adam could have understood us. And however the world has changed, it's changed a lot since Adam's day. And it may change a lot more. But Jesus Christ is the constant. He's the same. And yes, by the way, this world may be in a mess in a manner of speaking. And I like to say it that way. Because the mess that this world is in, what the mess is men that are making the mess. I know the world that God created is full of hurricanes and tornadoes and volcanoes and earthquakes and all those kind of things. But God created this world, and it's still doing what God created it to do. And by the way, it's not going to go flying off into space one of these days. When this world comes to an end, God's going to turn up the furnace and burn it up. But thankfully, you and I won't have to be here to witness it. To go back to the book of Acts, chapter 1, Jesus, the angel said to those men, they were sorrowful. I can only imagine what they must have felt. They had walked with Jesus. They'd seen the miracles. They'd watched him die on the cross. They knew he'd been in the grave for 3 days and three nights, but they saw him rise again. And don't you know that 40 days and 40 nights that Jesus Christ spent with them, there's probably no other 40 days and 40 nights in the world that could compare to what those men experienced. To walk and to talk and to hear him tell the things that he told. I believe in his glorified body. I may be wrong about that, but the time came. He had to ascend up to heaven. And while they were walking and talking, Jesus Christ left the earth. And again, the words of the angel, the same Jesus that you see going away in like manner, so shall he return. He's my Savior. And you can say he's your Savior. And he's the same. One more thought. Of course, throughout eternity, he'll be the same. One of the blessings and the joys of thinking about heaven is we won't have to deal with at least with the kind of changes. I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I'm sure if there are changes there, there'll be good changes. But we don't want to speculate too much. The same Jesus that you see going up into heaven. They watched him ascend that time with their natural eyes. Think about this experience that those apostles are going to have. They watched him ascend up into heaven. And of course, in their course, then they all died. But then when the resurrection comes, they'll see the same. They'll see him just like all the rest of us return to take them and all the ransom of family of God home. We'll all worship the same Jesus, the same Savior for us all. May the Lord add his blessings, my prayer.